We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we lift him up. And Father, anything in your temple this day, Lord, that is an offense to you, that is opposed, Father, to your Holy Spirit moving among us, Father, we rebuke it, and we cast her out in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare we are your people. We are the people of God. We are blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we stand here in confidence that you are our God, you are faithful, you are almighty, nothing is impossible with you. And in Christ we are secure, we are safe, and Father, nothing or no one, Father, can take us out of your hands. You are the almighty God, and we bow our hearts before you this day. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're the people of God. And sitting there, you know, God loves us with a tremendous love. And he's the almighty God. Nothing is impossible with him. And God's heart for us is that we come into the fullness of what he has promised and provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're talking today about the faithfulness of God. And that's without question. And I could pull out the scriptures and we could go through the word of God that would reinforce that God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. And I don't want to touch on that because all of us who are in Jesus Christ, who know him as our Lord and Savior, know that God is faithful. It's without question. But the problem is, do we avail of the faithfulness of God? Do we walk in the fullness of the faithful of God? Because the promises of God are an extension of his faithfulness. The promises of God is what God says to us, I promise you this, and I will be faithful unto it. I just want to bring out a few scriptures on that. And then I'm going to just share, you know, what God has put on my heart, I believe, by his Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's good just to remember these things. Numbers 23 and verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie. Nor a man that he should change his mind. God doesn't change his mind. Doesn't make a decision, doesn't make a promise this week. And next week then say, well, I'm not going to stand over that promise. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Psalms 145 and verse 13, it says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. That's the promise of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For no matter, this is for us in Jesus Christ, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, 2 Peter says, do not neglect the wonderful and precious promises of God. Now, if I was to do this, and I, in my own life, I was challenging this. If I was to do this and go around the room, and ask you to name 5 promises of God. I wonder how many of us could do it. And to avail of the faithfulness of God and to be strong in God. And if God says these things about his promises, that they are all yes in Jesus Christ, that he watches over them and he will fulfill them, well, then it says then, learn every promise of God. Know all his promises. because you can claim each one in Jesus Christ. They're assured. Someone I could prophesy over your life. You could have a prophet here. But how do you know a prophet is a prophet? What he prophesies comes true. But I prophesy something in your life for a year ahead. You know, you have to wait to see if that's going to come true. You can't hang everything on it. You've got to weigh up who's giving you the prophecy, where they are in God, what their reputation is in God. There's a lot of things you have to weigh up and put a value on what that person has said. But the promises of God are not in that camp. Promises of God have come from God himself. They're assured, they're steadfast, they're absolutely secure, and we can avail of them. And so, where we're at is that the faithfulness of God is assured, right? But the problem is, do we avail of that faithfulness? And I want to take us on a journey just to show where the promises of God and what God has done. And if you go back into Egypt, and most of us know about Egypt. Egypt represents the world. Egypt represents the forces of darkness. And the people of God were in Egypt. And there's some very interesting things is that this was the devil's domain, if you want to put it that way. False gods. Pharaoh represented his power. But they became afraid of the people of God in the land. Pharaoh said, look at the Israelites. They're multiplying. If we're not careful, they'll overtake us. Fear came into them. And you know, the devil is fearful of the people of God. He's fearful of us in the land because he knows who we are. He knows the mark of God is upon us. He knows we're under the blood and he fears us. For a lot of the times we fear him. And when it came then, he oppressed the people of God. This oppression came. Oppression upon them. And he cried out to God. And God heard the cry. And God came to their aid. And we know the story, and I can't go into it too much, was that God struck the powers of darkness. He struck them and he struck them. But the cruelty that the people of God had to endure, Pharaoh ordered the Israelite midwives, kill every male that's born of your people. And they wouldn't do it if you read the story. They wouldn't do it. And God honored them. But they were in a very serious position. And they were called into Pharaoh. And it was nearly like a death sentence. But because they honored God and would not do it, God preserved their life. And God blessed them. And so, if you read down the story, Pharaoh told his people, every Israelite male shall throw them into the river Nile. So, you know, there's mothers in the house here. Just imagine the oppression of those people. And it says the bondage and the cruelty became great over them. And there was many tears of those people. Because Moses, if we read, you know, the story, he was kept safe by the power of God. God kept him safe. But many of the Israelites' male children would have been killed. And there was a tremendous pain in those people. Tremendous oppression. But you know the amazing thing about God, just going a bit off, that the one who God would choose to lead those people out, he put right into the heart of the camp of the enemy. And the enemy educated them, fed them, and gave them honor, which was Moses. And I think that's amazing how God works at times. It's just incredible. I always think, here was Moses, right? Was going to strike these forces, and yet God put him in that camp, and they raised him. Now, when the Israelites were being led out, and when they came to the Red Sea, and God had delivered them with tremendous power, and now they were being brought out into freedom. And he came to the Red Sea, and what happened is when Pharaoh realized we've let them people go, they were a slave to work. He says the whole Egyptian army, the best that he had, rode out after them. And when the people of God seen them coming in the distance, panic struck them and fear struck them. And they turned to Moses and said, "What have you done to us? Here's the Egyptians coming after us. We're going to die. We're going to be killed." And Moses, I'll just go into it here. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And you know, God delivers us, but how many of us are looking over our backs, fearful of the enemy coming after us? How many of us have come out of a tremendously difficult situations by the power of God, but we're fearful that somehow the enemy is going to drag us back. He's going to pull us back into that place of darkness and bondage. And it's just fear, subtle fear, underlying fear, that you hear in people's voices, the enemy, and just fear, and he has a fear over them. But God, and this is the work of God, be still and see the power of God. And God opened up the Red Sea by his almighty power. It was impossible for the people to overcome this power that was coming after them. Pharaoh and their army would have wiped them out completely. They would have been slaughtered. And they couldn't get across the Red Sea. It's impossible for them. But what was impossible, deliverance belongs to God. And God opened up the Red Sea. And you went through it into safety. And what happened with the Egyptian army? Pharaoh and all his army entered in into the Red Sea after the people of God. And the Bible says not one of them was left alive. The power of the enemy, his forces were utterly and completely destroyed, broken, shattered. They were not coming after the people of God again. So the people entered in on a journey with God to go to the promised land. And this is what I want to talk about. That generation never lost their fear. They're always fearful. And when they came to the Jordan River, which we know, they would not trust God and cross over into the fullness of the promise that God had given them. And for 40 years, their whole generation wandered. And they had a desert experience. The experience of God was a desert experience. They became grumblers, complainers. Never knew the joy of entering in to the fullness of the promise of God in the promised land. Now, the important thing to look at, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he didn't leave those people, or he never didn't provide for them every day. Even in their unbelief, even in their complaining, even in their grumbling, God looked after them and God protected them every day. But they lived a faithless desert experience, full of fears, full of life has no joy in it. Life is not just full of fears. And that was their experience. And you know, Hebrews talks about, this is an example to us. And I go into that just a little bit down the road. But we can know that. We can come to Jesus Christ. We can be delivered totally and fully out of the hands of the enemy into Jesus Christ. And we can know God. And God can know us. And we are saved. We're saved people. We've come to the cross and we've been saved. And yet our life as Christians can be a desert experience of faithless walking with God. And God provides for us every day. God protects us every day. But we never come into the fullness that God has offered us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, just watching the time, because I know it's Mother's Day, and I want to just bless all the mothers in the house, and I want to bless your children, and bless your grandchildren, and the blessings of God go to the thousand generations. And may God, may you know the blessings of God, and I know you probably have meals and going to the mother, so I'm going to watch the time for you today and get through this very quickly. Now, Wendy Kem, Joshua then was called by God. And Joshua was eventually brought back with the people to the Jordan River 40 years after they refused to cross over. And why did they refuse to cross over? They were fearful of the enemy. God had destroyed the enemy. They had seen it totally and utterly. And God had told them, just be still. I'm not asking you to take on this enemy. You be still and I will do it for you. And they came to the Jordan and they wouldn't cross over. Fear gripped the hearts of the leaders of the people, except for two. And he spread panic among the people. And that's our greatest enemy, is fear. Fear keeps us from trusting God. Now, Joshua was brought back with the people, and he was of a different spirit. And Moses says to him, Deuteronomy 3 and 21, at that time I commanded Joshua, you have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. That was in the promised land. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7. Then Moses summons Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And this was the word of God to Joshua. And you read that, if you go on again, when Joshua's going in, the Lord spoke to Joshua again. Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll protect you. I'll fight on your behalf. Trust me, Joshua. Because fear was their greatest enemy, seeking to grip them. The enemy is too strong. He's too many giants. He'll overcome us. He'll destroy us. And God was saying, no, he won't. You trust me, Joshua. He's saying to his people, trust me. I have shown you my power. I've shown you what I can do with the enemy. Trust me. Now, when they came to the Jordan, they had the Ark of the Lord, which is where the presence of God was. And the priests were told to go in to the Jordan first with the Ark. And when they put their foot in the river, which was in flood at that time, and no way could they have gone over that river. God had to do something powerfully supernatural. And they stepped into the river, which was the Ark. As soon as they stepped in, the waters parted, and you went in. Now, you were at the Red Sea, where you were delivered, where you were set free from bondage, and now you're at the Jordan. And the Jordan opened up for them. And the Ark of the Covenant, the most sacred of the tabernacle furnishings, since it signified the Lord's throne, the Lord himself went into the Jordan ahead of his people as he led them into the land of rest. The Lord himself. This was the throne of God. It signified the Lord himself. And the Lord went ahead of his people. And he went through the Jordan River ahead of them. And he led them into the promised land. Now, in Hebrews it talks to us about, look at this, learn from it. And it says, therefore they were promised by God he would give them the promised land. He promised them. And what we said earlier on, God is faithful to his promises, each and every one. And that promise was there right at the start. But for 40 years they would not avail of it. And when they came back around again, the whole generation gone. But the promise was sure and steadfast, and they could have availed of that 40 years previously. And they didn't, because of fear. So, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Remember, we went into the rest, the promised land signified the rest of God. If you could just look after the kids there, it'd be helpful, so they're letting them run around the place. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. And this is what I want you to watch very, very carefully. In Mark 15 and verse 37 to 38, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And it says in the gospel, he said, it's finished. And then it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, a work of God. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Jesus was outside of the city, in the place of execution and the cross of shame. And he said, it's finished. It's finished. A great deliverance had been won. People were now brought out from the kingdom of darkness. His blood was shed. The enemy was shattered. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When Jesus said it's finished, the power of the enemy was broken. It's like in Egypt, when the people came out of Egypt and entered into the Red Sea. Now the enemy's power was broken at the cross, shattered. But something else happened in the temple. A different place at the same time. The curtain that separated the holies of holies from the holy place was torn in two. Now listen to me carefully. You're at the cross, deliverance, the power of God. But the Jordan is over here. The holies of holies is waiting for you to enter in by faith. And as the ark of the Lord went into the Jordan, it says of Jesus, He was the high priest, and he entered into the holies of holies in Hebrews with the blood. And it says the way was opened up for us. We could enter in. And we have a journey from the cross into the promise of God, into the holies of holies, the fullness of God. But the cross at times is where the cross is the first, it's the beginning, it's the Red Sea, it's where we're delivered. And then we come to the journey of
stepping into the fullness of the promise of God in Jesus Christ, into the rest of Christ. What's the rest of Christ? Rest from your oppression. Rest from your sin. Healing. Sanctification. Holiness. Blessedness. Everything is found in Him. We come. And you know, the cross, we see the cross at times as just a place where our sins are forgiven. But the deepest meaning of the cross, and I shared this before, that the deepest meaning of the cross is not just the total payment by Jesus for all our sins, and He paid it in total. But the deepest meaning is reconciliation with our God and Father. His heart longs to embrace us, love us, welcome us home. The cross is more than just a sin payment. It's the entrance into the holies of holies. It's a payment made out of incredible love. Incredible longing of God to be reconciled with us. No longer would sin keep us from His love and His fatherhood. But He wanted us to enter into His holy place. The holies of holies. Enter into the fullness of His fatherhood. Enter into the fullness of His love. Because that was His promise. The promise of His Son. The promise of the Savior. The promise that He would come for the sons and daughters of Adam. When they fell to Adam and Eve, God said, I will come. I will not leave you under the tyranny of the evil one. But I will come. And God promised that from the very beginning. And we come to the Jordan. We come to the holies of holies. And you know what keeps us from the holies of holies? What keeps us from stepping in to the fullness of God? And there's many things. But believe you me, God's not asking you to do anything. God is asking you to trust Him. Because when the people were being asked to go into the Jordan, they weren't perfect. And what stopped them going in was unbelief and fear, not personal sin. God has dealt with our sin at the cross. The sin is dealt with. Now God said, come. Come into my fullness. He settled the sin issue. And the issue now is unbelief and fear. We come to that place. It's unforgiveness. It's not willing to do what God asks us to do. And all sorts of stuff keeps us from entering into the fullness of God. Unbelief, lack of faith. What if this, what if that? But God says, trust me. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your family. Trust me. And see if I will be God in your life. God says, be still. I will battle on your behalf. All I'm asking you to do is trust me, have faith in me, and enter into my fullness. Amen. Praise God. I'll just pray now. And then I'm going to ask Rob, you know, just to end in a song of worship. And what I would say to us as a church, as a tribe, like to refer to us as a tribe of liberty. God is at move. This is only, I believe this is a word from God. I believe that God is going to bring us as a tribe into a different place. We're struggling. Some of us can be struggling. Some of us can be in a place of fear. Some of us can be struggling with different stuff. And believe you me, we can walk together. We can help each other. We can go into the holies and the fullness of God together. And God makes the weak, the strong, wait for the weak. And God doesn't separate His body. So we want to all go in together into the fullness of God. And the beauty about it is God will not let us do that until everyone is coming. He'll make us wait. And we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We want to enter in. And God is on the move. God is on the move. And God's going to move in this place. And God's going to bring us into a new place. It's like we're walking in and, you know, the waters of God's up to our ankles. Going to come to our knees. Going to get higher. We want to enter into the fullness of God has for us. Father, we thank you for your tremendous love. We thank you, Father, for your tremendous promises. And your word tells us, do not neglect these tremendous promises I have given you. before Father that are in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we honor him this day. And we say we trust him, O God. And we trust you, O God. And we give you our lives, O God. And we say, Father, we will be still and allow you to bring us into the holiest of holies, into the deepness of you, the holy living God. And Father, we say, here we are. Take us in, O God, by your Spirit. Take us in, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.